Last week, when we introduced this Upanishad, we covered in detail what the word Upani and Shat means. That means one who approaches the teacher with humility and surrender and prostrates himself, surrenders himself to the guru, then the knowledge becomes manifest. And it is very important to have nishchaya, have firm determination and Shraddha in the Guru. That's very, very important. And then also we mentioned that these Upanishads are apaurusheya, which means they were not composed by a human being. A lot of the others, for example, Mahabharata was written by Ved Vyas ji and so on. You know, Ramayana was written by Tulsidas ji, etc. But the Upanishads were revealed to the rishis in their deep meditation, and that's what they passed on to the student, and this particular Upanishad was revealed to Yajna Valka Rishiji. And we also said that science and religion both are looking for happiness for us, for humans. Science has continued to progress tremendously, but religion for a while became backward because we got into superstitions and false beliefs, but then it was due to acharyas like Shankaracharya ji, Swami Vivekananda, Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda and other acharyas that this knowledge of the ancient texts has been revived, brought back to us. And so we are thankful to them. Now, what happened with science? Science continued to progress and they continued to make life very comfortable. We can go into space, they're going to settle colonies on Mars with computers. You know, we can find out anything and everything happening in the world. And our homes are comfortable, our cars are comfortable. But what happened? We are comfortably unhappy. That is what science has done. It has not eliminated sorrow, has given us comfort. And that is good. We are not discounting science. But when people have everything, when they have achieved everything, and we find so many, you know, billionaires and actors, actresses commit suicide. Why? Because they have not found that joy which they were looking for. They thought by acquiring more money, a bigger house, more name and fame, you know, they will get it. But a lot of them we find end up bankrupt or committing suicide. So what happened is people, after realizing that the world can only give me so much joy, which is temporary, which is changing, which will not give me that final peace, then they turn back to religion. And that's why we find throughout the world the ancient wisdom of the rishis is coming back. You know, yoga has become popular all over the world, meditation has become popular all over the world. All the basic ideas of the rishis of the one world and the Brahman and the consciousness and the world has been used by so many other scholars like Eckhart Tolle, Wayne Dyer. So the ancient wisdom of the rishis has not gone away. In fact, it is spreading more and more. And we are grateful to Pujya Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda ji for bringing these Upanishads back to us, the Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishads. And it is his commentary that we will be using today. So, I won't tell the page number because people have different editions. So, I'll just tell the mantra number and you have to find it because everybody may have a different page. But today, we will be doing the Shanti Mantra. So, there are, as I said, there are various Shanti Mantras in the various Vedas, but except for this one, Purnamada, all other Shanti Mantras are asking God for something. So for example, Rig Veda, it says, Vang me manasi sthitaha, may my speech and my mind be coordinated, and may I pursue this path so that the knowledge may reveal itself to me. the knowledge of Atman, the knowledge of Brahman, may it be revealed. So they are asking this knowledge to be revealed. Then in the Yajurveda, there are two, the Krishna Yajurveda and Shukla Yajurveda. So the Krishna Yajurveda has Om Sahana Bhavatu, which we all chant in the beginning of every class, where the student and the teacher are together praying and asking for clarity, that may our mind not be disturbed, may my intellect be sharp. Sahaviryam karvavahe tejasvi nav, may my intellect be sharp, and ma vidvishavahe, may we not misunderstand each other. So that is the Krishna Yajurveda. The Shukla Yajurveda has Om Purnamada, which we will talk about today. Then in the Sam Veda, there's a beautiful mantra, apyayantu mamangani, may my limbs be strong. Why? So that I may, my limbs, may my mind, my intellect, my senses all be very sharp, so that I may pursue this study. And also in that mantra he says, all these qualities which are described in the Vedas, te mai santu, te mai santu, mai santu, may all these qualities, the sadhan chatushtaya, be in me. So that's what the student and the teacher are praying for. And in the last one, the Atharvana Veda, that is a very popular one. Badram karnevi shrunuyam deva, badram pasye maksha virya jatraha. So he says, may I hear what is auspicious, may I see what is auspicious, and may my body be healthy so I may do the spiritual sadhana, and I may do deva hitam yadayu. Whatever life I have, may it be for service of mankind. So today we will do the Shanti Mantra. Who would like to repeat? Harsha Ben, you would like to repeat after me? It's not unmuting. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam. Purnat Purnamudachyate.
Purnat Purnamudachyate.
Purnasya Purnamadaya.
Purnasya Purnamadaya.
Purnameva Vashishyate.
Purnameva Vashishyate.
Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Okay, all together, you can please mute, Harshavan. We'll all chant together. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. So the mantra starts with Om. Om is one of God's names. We'll talk a little bit about Om in this class. Purna Madaha. Adaha means that. That is Purna. That is complete. That is whole. W-H-O-L-E. That is whole. That is complete. So that is for whole. Purnam Idam. This is also whole. Also complete. So that is complete. This is complete. Purnat Purnam Udachyate. Purnat is the fifth case. From the whole, Purnam Udachyate, the whole comes out. The complete comes out from the complete. The whole comes out from the whole. And Purnasya. And of this Purna, from this Purna, Purnam Adaya. From the Purna, this whole is negated. From the whole is negated. Then the whole alone remains. The complete alone remains. So it says, that is whole, this is whole. This whole came out of that whole. And when this whole is negated from that whole, The hole alone remains. So student says, teacher, there is a hole in my head. H-O-L-E. He says, can you please? This mantra doesn't make any sense. You know, that's what Gurudev says, that a person who approaches a teacher without having done any previous study, maybe he has read Tattva Bodha and one or two texts here and there, and suddenly he shows up for the Upanishad class and this mantra comes, he will run away. So this mantra actually is, Shanti mantra is very beautiful because they are not asking for anything. Nothing is asked in this mantra. They are not saying, oh God, give me this, give me that, may my mind be nothing. This mantra gives the highest truth directly, and it says in such a short, in four lines, a student who has sadhan chatushtaya, who is ready, that's all he needs. He can do prostrate to the teacher and leave. But you and I guess we are not. We are not, because we have heard this Purna Mada many times and we still are not getting it. So the point is that one has to develop the prerequisites, just as, you know, when you go for bachelor's or a master's, you need prerequisites. So the prerequisites are sadhan chatushtaya. It has to be developed in full. Vivek, discrimination, vairagya, dispassion, shat sampatti, and mumukshutvam, intense desire for liberation. And what is this Purnam and why was this taught? So they said that in Kathopanishad, Nachiketa approaches Dharmaraja and says that, tell me that which is anatsya dharmat, anasya adharmat, which is beyond dharma and adharma, which is beyond right and wrong, which is beyond duties, what I should do, what I should not do. Tell me that which is the highest knowledge. And then, of course, Yamraj tries to tell him, you know, take this, take that. But he said, no, I don't want that. I want the highest knowledge. That knowledge which only you possess. See, he has that faith in the teacher. That's how one should approach the teacher. Not to test him or not to see if the teacher knows, but with the idea of surrender, that the teacher will reveal this truth to me. And it is the highest teaching of the Upanishads in this particular Shanti Mantra. So first, briefly, we'll talk about Om. What is Om? Om is A, U, Ma. A represents the waking state. A is the first letter in the alphabet in all, whether it's English, any other regional language is A or A. So the waking state is the earliest state where we start spiritual study, and Ma is the state of deep sleep. So when you chant Om, Ma represents deep sleep where my waking state ends, and U is the in-between called the dream state. So A represents waking, U represents dream, and Ma represents deep sleep. And then Om is followed by silence, which is said to be the Turiya state, the state of enlightenment, that from which all the sounds emerge. From Turiya, A, U, Ma emerge. From silence, Om emerges. And Bhagavan Sri Krishna in the 8th chapter, it says, Om ite kaksharam brahma, vyaharan mam anusmaran, yav prayati tyajan deham, tato yati param gatim. So one who chants Om, which is my name, Bhagavan says, which is the name of Brahman, when this individual leaves his body chanting Om and remembering me, he or she reaches the highest, tato yati param gatim. So that's why Om has lot of significance, and all our mantras start with Om. Now we'll come to the actual mantra, and where he says that is complete and this is complete. So suddenly you start with the pronoun, right? That and this. You have not defined who is that and you have not defined who is this. It's like saying, you know, like you say, okay, this is Mr. Ramesh, he's an engineer. Now that we understand, but if you say he is an engineer, they say who? You know, you have to define who is the engineer. So you have neither defined that nor you have defined this, but suddenly you have given us this mantra. So what happens is that this kind of teaching is very subtle. It's very difficult. And the student says, Guru, instead of giving Shanti, this mantra gives me only Ashanti. Because I don't understand it, I'm confused. So let us understand what is the meaning of that and this. When we say that, what it means is it is far away, right? That house or that, you know, city, that country. And this is close by, like this body or this room or this table or this computer. So one is remoteness and one is closeness. So that is far, this is close. Another meaning of that and this is that is unknown. I don't know what that is, but this I know. So, unknown and known. Also, that and this, that is subtle and this is gross. So, that Brahman, I don't know. It is very subtle, but this body I know. You know, it is gross. So, it can be subtle and gross, known and unknown, remote and near, or it can be cause and effect. That is the cause of this. So, karya karyam. So, that and this has to be understood in that way. So, is that clear? How, what that means? So, then we understand that Brahman, that is infinite. You know, that everybody knows that it is Satchidananda, it is existence, consciousness, and infinite ananda. Ananda means infinite bliss. So when you are saying that is infinite and this is infinite, right? Purnam and this is Purnam. It cannot be possible. There cannot be two infinites, right? If there is one infinite, that means infinite means extends everywhere. Now suddenly there is another this infinite and that infinite, and now this one is conditioning that, right? Like this house is conditioned by the walls. So that infinite, and there is a second infinite, so one is clashing against the other. Which one is going to be infinite? So infinite can only be one. There cannot be this infinite and that infinite. The meaning of infinite is that which has no boundaries, which keeps going on and on, and there is nothing limiting it, nothing conditioning it. That's why Brahman, the word is used is Desha Kala Vastu Aparichinna. Aparichinna means it is unconditioned by Desha Kala Vastu. Desha means space. That means there is no place where Brahman is not. No time. Kala means there was no time when Brahman was not there and then suddenly Brahman appeared. No, Brahman always was. Time appeared in Brahman. So, Brahman is there before time. And Vastu means no objects limited. Like this house is limited by walls. I am limited by the outline of my body. But Brahman is unlimited. Des Kala Vastu Aparichinna. Then the question is this world an effect? And is Brahman the cause? You know, people always say, God created this world. He created the world in 7 days, you know, so on, all of the Upanishads and everything talk. So, is it a karya karana? Karana means cause, karya means effect. So, is it cause and effect? So, that Brahman is the one remote. Now, this can be interpreted in two ways. One is this world. This world is what I perceive, right? I can see, hear, smell, taste, touch, shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha. So this world, or another meaning is this jiva, this individual I. So this can be this world, or this can be this jiva, this individual. So we say that is complete and this is complete, and complete came out of the complete. Now that complete we have no problems with. But they are saying this world is also complete. It is also avyayam. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita it says this world is avyayam. What it means is that this world has been, first of all, this creation is anadi. We heard in the 13th chapter, Purusha, Prakriti, anadi, Ubhavapi, both are anadi. Also, this world follows perfect laws, follows laws of physics, laws of chemistry, which are all unchanging, law of gravitation, E equals mc squared, all the planets are moving in their place. No planet clashes with another, you know, everything is working perfectly. The plants are growing, animals are, you know, doing whatever they are supposed to, humans. So this world appears to be perfect, appears to be infinite, appears to be complete. And the individual, well, I say, no, the world is not perfect. There are so many problems and so many difficulties. The second way of interpreting is, this is complete, this me. They say, how can I be complete? You know, I am limited, I have physical problems, I have emotional problems, I have psychological problems. So, what we have to understand is there really creation? If there is creation, then there will be two infinites, right? The world was infinite and Brahman is infinite. But the Upanishads tell us there is no creation. There never was, nor is, nor will ever be. Because if there is anything created which is real, it will negate Brahman, right? It will limit Brahman. That there is a real Brahman and there is a real creation. So creation has to be a superimposition. Now why do we say that? So there are many arguments. I'll just give a couple of them. One, I think I have talked before also in this class, that anything coming out of another should have the same quality, right? So like ornament coming out of gold should have the qualities of gold. Otherwise, you're not going to buy the ornament. If there is no gold, you won't buy it. Pot coming out of mud should have qualities of pot. I'm sorry. Yeah, should have the qualities of mud, but with a little decoration. You know, the pot will have some color, some shape, but it is mud and mud alone. Same way gold and ornaments. But if you and I have come out of Brahman, really, as this body or the world has come out of Brahman, it should have all the qualities of Brahman, which it doesn't. Brahman is ancient. World appeared. Then Brahman is eternal. World will appear and disappear. Brahman is all powerful. This world has limited power. Brahman is all knowing. World has very little knowledge. So Brahman and the world seem to be opposite. So how can we say the world came from Brahman? Another way that Gurudev has given in his commentary and earlier commentaries is that when anything is created, there can be only 5 or 6 methods of creation. So one is, from mud I make a pot. So I modify the mud. I take the mud and the pot maker modifies it, puts it in a round shape. So that is one, modification. Other way of creation is transformation. That means there is milk, I put some culture in it at night, leave it overnight, in the morning it becomes yogurt. So the milk is no longer existing as milk, has changed into yogurt. The third method of creation is like a seed. Seed becomes into a tree. Now what happens? The seed dies, the seed perishes when the tree comes out. That is the third method. The fourth method is, you know, baby being born from the mother. But the mother is here, the baby could be playing in the other room, could be running around, mother would be here. Another method of creation is you take different parts and you make a building. So you take cement and tiles and you take electrical, plumbing, and you put it all together and create a new house. So do any of these methods apply to Brahman? Can Brahman be modified?
No.
No, avyayam. Can Brahman be transformed?
No.
Like milk and butter and egg, yogurt? No.
Can
Brahman be made into parts? You take the parts and divide them and put them together? No. Does Brahman perish like the seed? Brahman was and Brahman is gone. Now only the world is. No, Brahman is still there. If we say like mother and baby, but mother is here and baby could be in the other room. So is it that the world is here and Brahman is somewhere else? No, Brahman is here. Brahman alone is. This world cannot be created. That is Ajatvad. That is the final teaching of the Upanishads. The Mandukya Upanishad says that very clearly, that creation is impossible. What you are seeing is a superimposition. So we are not saying the world is not there or it's not seen. The world is seen but does not have the same degree of reality that Brahman has. It is a relative. So to make us happy, the rishis say it is relative reality. We say, theek hai, abhi, this is better. At least relative to bol diya na, otherwise I was thinking there is no world. No, so to make actually there is no world. In reality, in the absolute, there is no world. But because you and I perceive it, they say, okay, you can take this relative reality. They say it is as much real as a dream. Just as when I go to sleep, I create this world of dream where I am running in the forest, the tiger is chasing me on and on, so on. But when I wake up, I realize there is no tiger, no world, no Africa, no tree. I am sleeping in my house in California. So when I wake up, I realize the world is... My dream world was an illusion. So similarly, the Upanishads tell us that in the mind of God, just as the dream was in my mind, so in the mind of God, is this world has been created where you and I are playing our roles and we are doing whatever we have to. But when we wake up, when a person gets enlightenment, that is waking up, then he or she gives as much reality to this world as we give to the dream on waking up. So this world is a superimposition, is a untrue or unreal appearance, because real means that which has to always be there. That alone is called real in Vedanta. So anything that was not there, is there now, and will not be in the future, is unreal. So you and I are unreal as far as the BMI is concerned. Yes, there is a reality within us, which we will talk about. So the best example Gurudev gives in his commentary is ghost and post, or Shankaracharya ji has popularized the snake and the rope, where the snake and the rope, and the, you know, the snake appears in darkness. Now the rope is complete, right? In that example, rope is purna, it is complete. On that rope, the snake appears, that is complete too. It's not that I see half rope and half snake. If I saw half rope and half snake, I would know it is an illusion. But when I see the snake, it looks complete with its, you know, fangs and with its shape and everything. But the snake where? From the rope, right? Because of my misunderstanding, the rope. So the rope is real, the snake is real. The snake came out of the rope as an illusion. But when the snake is negated by the flashlight, what remains? Rope alone remains. So that's what they're saying. This world is a superimposition upon this Atman, upon this Brahman, which is complete, and the world appears complete. So that one has to very clearly understand that the world is appearance, and when the world is negated, then Brahman alone remains. That is the idea. So the world is complete. How about me? I am also, actually I am Satchitanand Brahman. That's what the Upanishads say, that you and I are that. Because there is only one consciousness which has pervaded the entire universe. That's why the next shloka, when we do next week, or it will be in 2 weeks, we will talk about Isha Vasyam Idagam Sarvam. So there is one consciousness that has pervaded this entire universe. So there cannot be two consciousnesses. So I am Satchidanand, I am existence, consciousness, bliss. I have misunderstood myself to be this body, mind, intellect. So I have misunderstood myself to be this Jivatma. Just as I have given reality to the world, I have given reality to this BMI. And I say, now that is me, and my name is Lata, my name is Arun, I am a male or female, and all those superimpositions, conditionings I put upon myself. But when I negate all of these conditionings of this body, of this mind, of this intellect, then what remains? Atman or Brahman alone. Similarly, in this world which we have given reality to, when you negate that, then you realize that the world is only a superimposition on Brahman. So this shloka needs a lot of thinking and lot of, you know, contemplation. And these ideas will be repeated. We have talked about it in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 13. You know, we will continue in this Upanishad also. These ideas will be repeated. But what I have to understand is that do not give too much meaning or importance to the world. The world is, what we think, world alone is real. World alone is important, and we give too much importance to it. We give too much meaning to this world, that the world is means everything. So what they are saying is that Nirgun Brahman alone, formless Brahman alone, has taken all these forms. That's why they say there is Sagun Brahma. Sagun Brahma means Bhagavan Shri Krishna, Rama, you know, Lord Shiva, Mother Saraswati. So all these good, Sagun Brahma is actually that Nirgun Brahma which has taken various forms. So how is this conditioning? So again, our famous example, space and pot. You know, that example is marvelous, or space and room. That there is one space, right? Now in that one space appears the pot space or a room space. Is there really a pot space or a room space? No. One space alone appears to be divided, you know, in different houses, different pots, different rooms. So it is the conditioning of the pot that gives the creation of a pot space. But actually there is only one space. So they say when you break the pot, then the space becomes one. That is one way. But we say you don't even have to break the pot. You just know that the pot is a conditioning of that total space and has created this small space. And even when the pot is moving, we say pot space is moving. Actually, pot is moving in space. The pot space is not moving anywhere. So just... Also, whether the pot is there or pot is broken, is there anything happens to the total space? No. Whether the pot is there, the space doesn't say, oh, I am now limited. And when pot is broken, space says, oh, now I am free. No. The total space is unaffected by what's happening to the pot because there is no pot space. So that same way, this total consciousness, this Brahman, is unaffected by what is happening in this world. You know, whether there is joy or sorrow, that's why Bhagavan Shri Krishna again and again says, you are that Atma, that consciousness. Sama shatrau cha mitre cha tatha mana apamana yoho shitoshna sukha dukkeshu. Samasanga vivarjitaha. So if you identify with this body, mind and intellect, then you will suffer the consequences of pain, sorrow, discomfort, etc. But if you identify with that Brahman, that is my true nature, and this Jiva, Jagat and Ishvara. Jiva, this individual, Jagat, this world, and Ishvara, the creator of the world. Consciousness functioning through Maya takes the role of Ishvara. We had talked also in Dakshinamurti Stotram. So Ishvara, Jiva and Jagat are all misunderstood Brahman. When Brahman is misunderstood, then we give reality to Jiva, Jagat and Ishvara. So that's why they say, teacher says, O student, Tat Tvam Asi. This particular Shanti mantra is a Mahavakya, that there is only one consciousness, which you are, and this Jiva and this Jagat are superimpositions upon it, have no reality. So do not give too much importance to this world. Pay attention to the Atma, the consciousness, which is my true nature. Also this mantra says, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Brahman alone is real. This world is mithya, is a superimposition, is a appearance upon that Brahman. So that is what I have to apply. And what is the practical application of this idea? We'll just end with that. Practical application is that I see the world as Brahman, as complete, as God alone. That's what the next mantra will talk about, how to see this world as God alone. Isha Vasya Mitagam Sarvam. So how to see this world as God alone? That I have to understand, that this world is perfect. We say, you know, world has so many faults and so many deficiencies and political problems, social problems, economic problems. Those are all superimposition. In reality, everybody is perfect. That I have to understand. Whoever I come in contact with is God and God alone. And I am also a manifestation. I am also Purna. Just as that is Purna, I am Purna. I again, not as this body, mind and intellect, but I as the Om, the consciousness. In Gurudev's BMI chart, the Om is that who I really am. So here what we see is that the Guru has come down to our level and taught this. That's why all the commentaries I read, what the teachers have done is have come down to our level where we are, and then have lifted us to their level. Because their level, from this to that. Yeah. So it is a shift from this to that. It's not any movement. It is a change of my understanding. I understood one thing, and now my understanding has been clarified, has been made clear. So that is the only change that has happened with this mantra, that it has opened my eyes to a new world of understanding. That's why they say in a brave new world, that, you know, there's a song also. So that there is a world which is real, and this world is a appearance upon that. And then this Shanti mantra ends with Shanti, Shanti, Shanti three times. Shanti means, one, there may be Shanti in the cosmos. There may not be any earthquakes.
Unknown.
And the unknown, you know, all the earthquakes, hurricanes and all. Second is, may there be Shanti in my neighborhood when I'm walking. May there not be a Harley Davidson driving at 70 miles an hour and making a loud noise. So may there be Shanti there. And then may there be Shanti within, because we are perfectly capable of creating a lot of Ashanti within us. All of us are very good at that. So may there be Shanti within, Shanti in my surroundings, and Shanti in Adi Daivik, Adi Bhautik, and Adhyatmik. So that is the essence of this mantra, that from that infinite consciousness, which is complete, this world has appeared, but actually in reality it is a superimposition. When you negate this, then that alone remains as Purna, which is complete, and that is the essence of this particular mantra. It has, actually, there is so much, the acharyas have talked for up to a week just on this one mantra, because the entire Vedantic knowledge is summarized in this most beautiful Shanti mantra, and I hope I was able to communicate the beauty of this mantra. I tried, whatever best I could do. I have, Neeru has found 2-3 other commentaries, so we are using those. And if there are any questions or comments, we have time.
And also, Swamiji said that you can use this mantra as a meditation. So that you can explain the sat or the.
Yes, yes. It can be used as a meditation. I was going to do that next week, but we can talk about it. So in meditation, everything outside is existing, is sat. Right? Within me is awareness, chit. Right? Chit, I am aware of this computer. I am aware of this world. I am hearing. So chit is within and without, and sat is also within and without. Existence, I exist. And I am conscious. And Anand is infinite. So either you can start from Sat, that I exist and everything I see is existing. Or I am aware and everything that is aware is that Chit, whoever is conscious. And then Anand or bliss is my true nature. That's why they have laughter clubs. It's quite popular in India where people meet in parks and just laugh. But after laughing, what they're doing is artificially bringing that Ananda and then becoming silent. So, Sat, Chit and Ananda are my true nature. So, I am Brahman and this world is also Brahman. But there is only one Brahman alone appearing as all these. So, that is one of the ways you can use this mantra for meditation. Chidananda Rupaha Shivoham Shivoham. I am that infinite Sat Chit Anand. And I am not this body, I am not the mind, I am not the intellect, I am. And none of this world has the real existence.
Anilji, it could be the same explanation. Om Pun Madha Pun Medam. That the universe consciousness is there and we are part of consciousness. As you said, that part moves with the space, not space doesn't move. Is it the same when we disappear, the consciousness remains?
Yes, yes. Yeah, that is another way that we, just as a part is part of that total space, when the part breaks, nothing happens to space. And it remains one. So similarly, when our body perishes, that consciousness remains the same. There is only one consciousness. All of us are appearance upon that.
Yeah. You explained very, very, very nicely. Very clearly, very nicely. Thank you.
Thank you, Auntie. Thank you. Yeah, Lata, go ahead.
Okay. So, you explained that is whole. This is whole, that this meaning the jagat is whole.
Right.
Because it's a
appearance.
Yes.
Of Maya. From the whole becomes manifest.
Right. So Purnat is the fifth case. Purnat, Purnam, Udachyate. Udachyate means Udaiti. Yes, na sunset. We say the sun is rising, so it appears.
Yeah, I got that. So from the whole, when the whole is negated, which whole are we talking about and which negation are we talking
about? Yeah, good question. So Purnasya, of that whole, this Purnam is negated because we don't give it reality. Adaya means this world, when it is negated, then Purnam eva avashishyate. Shesh means remain. Avashishya means below. So that alone is appearing as all this. That's why
this, on this the world is appearing.
On that the world is
on appearing. This reality, on that whole, this right. world is appearing.
Appearing.
Okay.
So and so our shishyate means, yeah.
And the tool for negation is the knowledge?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Only one tool, and that is knowledge. You cannot
because
negate.
Because the problem is the
right.
not thinking.
Not thinking. You cannot do mantras and negate that. Talking about mantra, I just one thing I wanted to mention, that this Ishavasya Upanishad appears in the mantra portion of the Yajurveda, does not appear in the Upanishad portion. They say, but the mantras are only for chanting, for puja. Why is Ishavasya Upanishad in the mantra portion, not in the Upanishad portion? And they say that why the rishis purposely put it in the mantra portion, that there may be a rare student who, while chanting the mantras and doing the puja, suddenly comes across this Ishavasya Upanishad and knowledge dawns, and suddenly from there directly he jumps to sannyas. Because the mantra portion is for brahmacharis, then there is the brahmana portion for householders. There is the Aranyaka for Vanaprasthas, and Sannyas is the Upanishads. But a rare individual directly from Brahmacharya jumps to Sannyas without stopping at householder or Vanaprastha, which we see Swami Tejomayananda ji, Swami Ishwarananda ji, all these Acharyas, Swami Swarupananda ji, they all studied at the Vedanta school in Mumbai and then gave up the world, gave up the family, gave up their jobs and directly took sannyas. So this Upanishad has been placed in the mantra portion deliberately that some rare student may get inspired. So that I think I didn't cover last time. So that I'm just mentioning. That's why it is said to be the mantra samhita portion, the mantra portion of the Upanishad.
Right. But you said the knowledge only is the tool. As I go further, in the second mantra it says action also, something about that action.
Yes.
I haven't read to that point, but it does indicate.
In the second mantra, yes. Because this is the only Upanishad where Karma Yoga is given. All the other Upanishads say you have to give up karma, but here they are giving Karma Yoga to prepare the individual for the highest knowledge. So the second and third mantra, the second is Karma Yoga, the third mantra is, if you don't do Karma Yoga, what will happen? And then after that, Rishi stops it and the rest of the Upanishad is all knowledge. So karma is required, Karma Yoga is required for purification of mind. When the mind becomes unselfish, dedicated to activities which are pure, dedicated to God for serving others, then such an activity purifies the mind, and then in a pure mind, this knowledge of this Purnamada and Ishavasya Midagam Sarvam will remain. So that's why karma is given. Yes, you're very right. In the second mantra, it talks about Karma Yoga.
So there is hope for Karma Yogis. Like
yes. But Karma Yoga then has to progress to knowledge. What we do is we keep doing Karma Yoga. They say as long as I'm a good person, I don't hurt anybody, I don't lie, I don't cheat, there is no need for knowledge. We say no. Karma Yoga is preparation for knowledge. Karma Yoga and Bhakti prepare the mind for knowledge, and then I have to sit at the feet of the teacher and learn. Nishat means sit below and approach the teacher
right.
and learn. So
the more I read, I find that when you post and ghost, I like that analogy. Post is Brahman. Ghost is this world, Jagat.
Right.
And when that the light of knowledge, once it's put on that, that ghost disappears. So the
yes.
universe
yeah,
disappears.
Yeah.
And what remains is that Brahman.
Right.
So somewhere I have to make sense of all of this.
No, that's why mananam is very important.
I have to put light on myself to
yes.
make me disappear and just shine that Brahman
right.
like that post. This occurred to me last 7 o'clock.
Very good. No, that's where, that's mananam, as Nehru says, contemplation.
Thank you. Well, thank you.
No, no, that's very good. That's how you do. You apply everything to yourself and then negate this BMI. And then when you negate this BMI, then Brahman alone remains. Does not mean the body will go away. Even a realized master still has to get up in the morning, have a shower, have breakfast. You know, they still have to take a plane and, you know, car. They cannot fly. But they know that all of this is a role I am playing, but my true nature is not that. Just as Dilip Kumar is playing the role of an alcoholic in one movie and a king in the other, but he's neither an alcoholic nor
he's
a king.
Dilip
Kumar. He is the unchanged. You know, you can say Dilip Kumar, you can say, you know, whoever.
You can't take it literal.
No, I mean, he's playing different roles, but inside he is the same.
Yeah.
It is the same individual playing different roles. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, the superimposition, like ghost and ghost, but this one it says many manifestations, as you just said, from nirgun to sagun, but sagun is many, many manifestations.
Yes.
Right? Versus in ghost and ghost, ghost I'm seeing only one.
Right.
Really, it's a many, many parts of it. Is that what?
Right. Like from one space there are many parts. You know, or from one mud you make many parts. From one gold you make several ornaments. But they are all nothing but gold and gold alone.
Plurality
is all an appearance. And here it's not only this earth, but there are so many other planets. So many other crores of Brahmandas. You know, there's only one universe that we know. But they say there are crores of millions and millions of universes that have appeared. I mean, that consciousness is really infinite. And we are so fortunate that I can... And all I have to do is connect within. That's what Gurudev says. Once you discover consciousness within, that I am consciousness, then you realize everything is consciousness. Just as one drop of ocean water you taste, you can taste all the oceans of the world. So once you discover I am infinite, then everything is infinite. So meditation starts from within.
This is a beautiful Shanti mantra. It is very hard to understand. Today I will understand, tomorrow I will forget. But it comes out very beautiful.
Thank you.
Understood.
It is also similar to do that, na? Brahmarpanam Brahmavi.
Brahmarpanam in fourth chapter, Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavihi.
Brahmanau Brahmanahutam Brahmaivatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhin.
Yeah, that means the fire is Brahman,
when
the
you
fire
eat, we
cone
do
is Brahman.
Swamiji.
When we eat, the food is Brahman, the preparer is Brahman, one who grew is Brahman, and one who is being nourished is Brahman. Just as in that Havan Kunda, the Kunda is Brahman, the fire is Brahman, the offerings are Brahman, and one who is offering is Brahman, and who is reached?
Brahman
alone. So Brahman alone is appearing. So in practical, what you do is see the whole world as God, and that we will be talking in detail next week. Isha Vasya Midagam Sarvam Yad Kinchat Jagat Tyan Jagat. We don't have much time. I was going to have somebody chant that next mantra, but I think this shloka needed more commentary, so we are done with it. So we'll start. Actually, next week, Nehru and I are out of town. So we won't have this class next week. If you all want to meet and discuss, or after Jayashree does the chanting, or
Jayashree,
you want to take a week
either.
Off.
Jayashree is not here either.
Are you here, Jayashree?
You won't be attending.
I'm going to be busy.
Yeah, so then next week there won't be class. Then we'll meet in 2 weeks. We'll put it on the WhatsApp group also, on the Devi group. That in 2 weeks we'll meet and do the first mantra. Isha Vasya Midagam Sarvam. This whole universe is nothing but God and God alone. So he is now, the Rishi is making it easier for us. From the highest, he is now coming slightly lower because he knows that we are all confused. He must have seen the students are confused, that hole and this hole and hole is a pole. So he makes it easier. So the next mantra is very beautiful. That's why this Ishavasya Upanishad is called that, because the first word is Ishavasyam Idagam Sarvam. So that will be the next mantra. We'll do the closing prayer. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Thank you very much. Hari Om. See you in 2 weeks. Have a nice Thanksgiving.